afternoon, everybody. This is Pete with All Matters, Car Radio 97.3 FM and 770 KTTH on the AM dial in the great state of Seattle. We got a great show. This fella's new on the show. I'm really excited to have him. He's from Norbury Tile. His name is Craig Nordberg, and they've been around 26 years, a long time. But he's got some interesting stories to tell about the whole tile industry, the art history of tile, the architectural history. And then obviously we're going to get into, you know, some of the things that are happening, the trends for tile and things like that, talking to Craig. So, and I'll, guys, make sure you grab a pen and paper, because I'm going to give you their website and then also his phone number going forward. So, Craig, it's good to have you on the show, man.
Hey, Pete. Great. Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, it's going to be a lot of fun. So, just because you're brand new, I always like to start with who you are and kind of. So, what's your story like? Were you always in the building trades growing up? And
I was always attracted to architecture, and especially the history of architecture.
Did you go to school for that, or
I had a mentor, and was able to mentor with Cohen Pedersen Fox, Bill Pedersen specifically, who designed our beautiful Washington Mutual Tower.
Yeah. That's kind of some big work. Yeah.
It was big, and I was able to kind of approach it from the development side.
Okay. Were you a younger kid?
I was younger. I was, in fact, hadn't even applied to college yet when he asked me.
So you were like 18 or so?
I was 17.
17. Wow.
He's out of New York, but was able to research, get in, and talk with him, and he asked me a question once, and that was, "Are you ready to commit your life to architecture?" And I hesitated for a second.
That's a heavy question.
It was.
For a 17-year-old.
I move, he would have said, "Yeah, I'm going to go to this architecture school." But instead he said, "Back up. You're going to go to a good liberal arts school for 4 years, and then you get into architecture school."
Okay.
And that was exactly what I ended up doing.
Is that what you did? Okay, where'd you go to liberal arts?
I went to the Colorado College.
Okay.
What makes it so cool is it's really small, but you study one course at a time, and it's really very concentrated.
Yeah, and it's kind of immersive.
It is,
as I heard. Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's still around down there, isn't it, I think?
It is, Colorado Springs. Gosh, I don't think I would be able to get in these days with the acceptance rate around 10%.
Yeah, well, you know, times are changing.
Yes.
So did you go to architectural school too as well afterwards?
I ended up following a path to where I was went to Harvard for a test program.
Wow.
But then as I started to look around, I saw that architecture was an old man's sport. And so I thought instead of going directly into it and designing door jams, I went in to tile, which was a material I wanted to design with at the time.
So that's a big jump going from, I was going to do architecture school to jumping to tile. How did that all happen?
Well, I ended up going back to New York.
Okay.
And for 4 years, I would like to say it was a renaissance period in tile.
Yeah.
And so we were there bringing back product that had disappeared over time. Because really all we had
in the New York area you were doing that?
I was in Manhattan.
Wow.
I could say I lived in every neighborhood except for Tribeca.
Wow. That's very cool. So when you say you were bringing back tile, what does that exactly mean in the New York
City? So Dahl Tile was the only tile line existing at the time.
Okay.
And Saks was still running her own business selling what I considered bad Mexican tile.
Okay.
But then,
why was it bad Mexican tile?
It's so unreliable. I just couldn't.
Was just from breaking and cracking?
And not being able to get consistency.
Okay.
On colors, exactly.
Yeah. Yeah.
So went back to New York. There were budding companies in mosaics and handmade and arts and crafts type tile.
So that was kind of the hub, really, for the United States at that time.
It was. I consider it the center of the universe because that's where the magazines, magazines, shows came out in New York.
Yeah. So it's really kind of the fashion industry and the tile industry.
It really is. Yeah. In fact, I like to say that if you're following fashion, the tile industry is going to follow about 7 years later.
Far behind, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Very cool. Let's go. So then, so you're back there, and you're kind of bringing back the renaissance of tile. Then what happened? What's the next thing?
It's been Hotel California ever since. I ended up...
You're in, but you can never come out, huh?
Yeah, exactly. But I did bring it back to Seattle, and I kept saying to myself, okay, let's
But why? Okay, so New York, and then Seattle. Why Seattle?
Seattle's home for me.
Oh, it is? Were you from Seattle then?
I am.
Yeah. Okay.
And
Where'd you grow up?
I grew up in Laurelhurst.
Okay, yeah.
And then now down in Madison Park,
okay.
Mount Baker is where my showroom is.
Yeah.
And had just recently sold a home, a 1924s home. Whereas, if you were to walk in the house, you were walking into 1924.
That's cool.
It was really a real fun period home.
Yeah.
And
did you keep all of the original architecture and the and
kept the original
style.
Architecture, replaced a few surfaces that were changed out, and really was. I just love the art history of it.
Yeah.
And the architectural history.
Did you remodel the whole house?
Yes.
You did? Okay.
Yeah.
So what kind of tile did you pick in there to reflect that time period?
1924, we were in Seattle. You would have been buying kits from the Bat Shelter.
From what?
It was a Pasadena.
Bat Shelter?
Bat Shelter, yeah.
Really?
Famous.
Was that the name of the company?
Yes. Ernest Bat Shelter was the
owner.
Ernest
Bat Shelter, okay.
And they're from Southern California.
Okay.
You could get kits sold with your Sears homes.
Really? Out of the Sears catalog. Back then, there was a Sears catalog, and there was, what was the one that started with a W? It was maybe an M. Montgomery Ward.
Montgomery Ward, you're right.
You got it, yep. That was Montgomery Ward. I remember that as a kid. Yeah. They used to have these big catalogs. So that's where Bat Shelter was doing his tile sales.
Bat Shelter, yes. So you would order, it would be an extra, the fireplace you might order.
Okay.
But in Mount Baker.
But they were all kits.
They were kits, yeah. And just like the homes were, but there were some bigger homes in Mount Baker.
Okay.
Where, gosh, I run the Mount, or was heading up the Mount Baker home tour.
Okay.
And there's a couple homes where they dedicated the entire floor.
Okay.
To Bat Shelter.
Wow. So it's like kind of like a historical museum almost.
It was, yeah.
That's very cool. So, okay, so you remodeled this with a time period in mind. But Bat Shelter wasn't around anymore, so how in the heck did you find the tile and keep it within that period specific?
It turns out that Tile Restoration Center was started up in Seattle.
Really? Okay. So they started that movement.
They did. This was part of that renaissance that was happening in the 90s. And so I was able to go back and find true, authentic-looking Bat Shelter tile.
Through them?
Yes.
Okay.
Now so that company exists down in Vancouver,
what is
Washington.
Bat Shelter? I mean, I know like, you know, the subway and the black and whites and things like that. What does the Bat Shelter tile actually look like?
Bat Shelter is more of a stoneware tile.
Okay.
And it's a single fire, whereas they stain the tile. So you're not having, it's not a glaze on there.
Okay.
But there is a stain, and they're really very muted. So not a spectacular looking fire.
So do they fire the tile and then stain it? Is that the process?
Yeah.
Okay. Got it.
And then.
So this had these muted tones, and then that's what you put in on the floors in your house.
I would put that. It's really more of a fireplace because it's pretty dear.
Okay.
In order for them to get the edge detail that they've got, they're using plaster knives to cut it with. And it just...
Wow. And when you say the edge, what do you mean by that in the top?
So the edge detail. So a rectified edge, say, is a perfect 90-degree angle on that tile.
Okay.
There's almost a little eased edge.
Okay.
Is what a Bat Shelter tile is going to possess.
And is an eased edge like a rounded type?
Just a slight round. Like if you were to take a stone, oftentimes you're just going to put a little bit of an ease on it.
So they were doing that with a plaster knife, the edge on it?
They're cutting it with a plaster knife because somehow...
That's pretty manual.
It is so manual.
Yeah.
$80 a square foot.
Wow.
It's really a slow process to manufacture.
Yeah. But I guess you get the authentic look, which is kind of what you're going after.
Exactly.
You know?
Exactly.
Yeah, you can't cut corners when you want to be in that, mimic Frank Lloyd Wright. It's like you got to make it just the way it should look.
Exactly.
Yeah, I totally get that. Frank Lloyd Wright's one of my, I know he's famous, but I love his architecture.
Oh,
some of the stuff he did back then in the 60s and 70s, really cool stuff. So you did the fireplace. Was there anything else you did in the restoration of this home that was authentic?
I did go to, I used the subway tile in the master bathroom.
Yeah.
I went in with a hex white tile for the floor.
Because that was a time period back then, right? That subway tile. I know it was big.
Correct.
Yeah. Back in the 20s, yeah.
And the reason why it was ubiquitous was because lighting was so bad. And you didn't have the luxury of putting in darker,
interesting
tile.
You're talking about
tile.
Interior lighting.
Yeah.
Really, it was bad, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Bathrooms were kind of a second thought. And not the most loved installation as opposed to these days.
Yeah.
But it was the white tile that reflected the light. And so there was a real utilitarian reason to
And was that tile back then was a ceramic tile, not a porcelain? Or was it?
It was a ceramic.
A ceramic. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Porcelain's a more modern take. Yeah. And gosh,
when did porcelain come in? Is it the 40s or 50s? Or
I'm going to have to look that one.
That's okay.
I'm
going to
go
with
the 50s.
50s, okay. Okay. But I know back in the 20s, the subway was really, I mean, it was kind of big in the black and whites. And
correct. And it's still around. And we'll see
cool.
it in a lot of these historical designs, say up here on Capitol Hill.
Yeah.
If you want to stay true to the style.
Yeah, that's very cool. We come back, Craig, we're going to continue our discussion. I want to next talk to you. Thank you for all the background on kind of how you got into this and what your passion is, which was really cool. Great story. I want to talk about, the thing that really piqued my ears when I talked to you was, you're an architectural history nerd, and kind of the evolution of tile and how it all started, even way back to the originations of tile. Let's talk about that,
mm-hmm.
and then we'll get into your what you offer today in the modern times and things like that. So you want to give these guys a call if there's anything you need related to tile. These guys are the place to go. He's got a showroom down there in Mount Baker. It is by appointment, so you got to give him a call at 206-343-9916, or you can go to his website to check him out there at norberry.com. With that, I'm Pete. This is Home Matters, Car Radio 97.3 FM and 770 KTTH AM.